I'd like to get things recovered.
So we'll call this meeting to order. This is a special meeting of the Port of Brookings Harbor Commission, Friday, December 21st, 2018. Call to order at 3 p.m. Do I mean the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Danielle, roll call.
Joe?
Yes.
Wesley is not here. Roy is not here. Richard?
Here.
Ken?
Yes.
Travis?
Here.
Gary?
Here.
Okay, do we need to introduce ourselves or the staff? I don't think so.
Yeah, we just did it.
Just did it? Okay. All right. Anybody have any modifications, additions, or changes to the agenda? Okay. Anybody want to declare a potential conflict of interest on this, the issues we're going to discuss today? Okay. We're cruising right along. Now, public comments.
That doesn't have to be related to the agenda, does it?
Nope. First up, we have Kenneth Francis. We'll talk about growth of sea life in the port.
You want me to stay here or stand up or what?
Come close so we can get you on that.
So my concern is the amount of sea life that we've had in the port, especially this last year. I have a lot of customers that complain with the amount of algae and snails and clams that are getting hung up in their intakes of their boats, causing overheating issues and all around just damage to the bottoms of boats, having all this stuff on them. From what I've gathered, the bulk of this is coming from the BC fishery. A lot of the slime that I pull out of the outdrives, out of the intakes, is fish goo. I think we all know that when you put fish byproduct in the ground, it creates a lot of great flowers and blooms in your gardens, and does the same thing in the water. It's a high amount of protein in the water, causes a lot of algae growth, causes a lot of snail growth, just the steps of life. I think it'd be an easy thing to correct if they would just refrain from discharging their waste at slack, low, or incoming tides. If they would stick to the schedule and on the beginning of an outgoing tide, dump their tanks or whatever they're dumping over there, let that ship get sucked out, I think it would prevent a lot of this crap from ending up in the boats and on the bottoms and the huge amount of growth that we have in the port. I've been here 10 years and it's never been anything like this. And that's all I had to say. My concern was if we could maybe do something about that, that'd be great. And I think it'd be an easy fix.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
David Allen.
All right. David Allen. I want to talk about it a little bit is I saw that we have some security concerns and down here at the port, and I'm curious how many hours is our security actually getting paid based on our spending, and is that equal to the results that the port needs as far as protecting down here? And that's something I guess you guys have to look at and determine if it's fair.
I think we're going to talk about that today, aren't we?
Okay, that's good, because that's one of my big concerns. And being a boat owner, not more one at this very moment here, but I have in the past, that's something I've always kind of expected, is that there'd be some protection for my vessel. That's part of your mortgage. Normally, if you pay for something, you have some kind of security, I would think. And I know it's been talked about as far as cameras. I've got cameras across the street. It's nice for me to see who it is, but when we had somebody break into the place when it used to be the yacht club, and they broke into Harborview, and they tried to get through my door. We had that all on video, but the only reason they ended up catching him is because he was down in Crescent City with a shotgun on his back, and the police picked him up, and they happened to recognize the same hoodie that he had covered up when he was trying to break through. So I think that most criminals, unless you have somebody monitoring the cameras, they're nice, but it's only to keep honest people honest. It's the old saying that good fences make for good neighbors. So I think that's important to look at. I don't think it's a bad thing, but again, if you don't monitor it or have a response, there's no point. When we had theft here in the port years ago, I know that they ended up catching the guys. They were coming in off the river with a rowboat, and that's why there were so many stainless steel props that were being stolen, among other fishing stuff. So why I lead with that is you're talking about putting gates up, and I think that one of the nice things or attractions to our port is people can come down and walk the docks. And there's two reasons I think that's important. One, it provides some help if somebody falls in the water. You know, you don't want somebody on the boardwalk and can't get to that gate when they hear somebody splashing below. And we do have people, unfortunately, fall into the water often because our docks are fairly narrow compared to a lot of other ports that I've walked. So, and I think that they trip on cleats and all kinds of things, and that's just part of a port, and that's acceptable, but you need some rescue, I would think. And there's been talk about putting in potential ladders, so I wouldn't know why you would put the port in that position. I mean, how many ladders are enough ladders? How do you maintain it, especially with all the growth that we've heard about? Because that could be a problem. So you've got all the ladders, but they couldn't get out, it's too slippery, etc. I would suggest that we just use the boats that are down there, because most of them have swim steps. I think anybody reasonable would crawl on that and get out. So back to the gates, one other item. Mother's Day, it was a Sunday years ago. Ted was still in charge. I can't remember if Travis responded or not, but I had somebody from Grants Pass that called me, that's my personal number, and said, hey, we got a boat going down in the port. My wife and I are walking, enjoying looking at the boats. There's no number I can find to call. What do I do? So I called Ted because I happen to have his cell phone, and my house is closer than his, and he beat me down here somehow. Anyway, they did rescue that boat before it went all the way under. Matter of fact, some of us jumped on the front of the boat to kind of level it out because it was almost lapping in the back. It was so full. But they did a great job and were able to pump it out. So I think if there would have been gates, that probably wouldn't have, it would have sunk, which could cause other economic damages to the port, fuel loss and so forth. I think that's primarily the main things I want to just throw out that I've noticed here. I am really proud of the new port commission and the things that have changed, and I'm glad Gary's back. So
let me ask you a question. Would you feel differently about the gates if they were open during the day and closed only at night?
Not really. I think that people still get down there, and it's hard to stop criminals, I think, other than,
I'm talking more about your point to the access for the public and other uses to get down there without being impeded by a gate.
I don't think it's, what I would prefer, instead of having gates in the evening, is maybe have more liveaboards, because they see what's going on, and they watch what's happening, and they report, and they kind of protect the port. So I would think that if we're going to do that, I would, instead of spending the money on the gates, I would spend money on promoting more liveaboards. It would be more wisely spent. Yeah, my opinion. Any other questions?
I do. The cameras you have, are they indoor or outdoor?
They do both, but I've got them outdoor.
Are they Wi-Fi?
They are. Well, no, they're hardwired, the ones I have, and they're high definition, but I mean, I can pull it up on my phone right now. You can set it up for sensitivity to where it lets you know if there's movement, but the problem is we get wind and other things that happen, and it's just going off all the time, so don't deal with that. But it's really clear. I mean, the stuff they have out today is amazing.
Cameras instead of gates at the same location would be
effective. Yeah, somebody monitoring it. Yeah, and if you've already got security that you're paying for, I said even cell phones, you could set it up, and if there's a movement, they could, take a quick look at their screens or whatever else, because then now you got somebody that's going to respond, and they're on the clock for you anyway. So that might not be a bad idea, and you can set it up to only do those hours that you're on patrol.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
So that brings us to action item port security. Gary, do you want to take it from here?
Sure. you want me to read over what I presented, or do you have any questions?
Well, why don't we take them and keep them?
Okay. So security patrol, right now we have South Coast Night Security doing our patrols. They are doing 2 hours per day, 7 days a week. And it's $2,000 a month. That's what they're charging us for that service. And they close the restrooms at 10 o'clock. They close the gate at the RV park at 10. And they do the patrols throughout properties. And then reopen everything up at 4 a.m. Except the RV park gate. That gets open at 7 a.m. So that's what they're doing. They're checking for, you know, people out here parking overnight. They remove them, they find them, and that kind of stuff. So we do get reports every morning. They have like an online type of thing where they constantly, I don't know exactly how they do it, but they upload when they're here, they upload when they leave. So we know when they're on site, we know when they're off site. So it's a pretty good tracking device. We just have to log in and see what they're doing.
Your thoughts about the adequacy of that?
I think they're doing a pretty good job. I mean, we had a period of time a couple years ago. We didn't have any security at all because we're kind of between managers. This when Ted left and we had the interim manager Don Mann. I think we had 3 months without security. It got progressively worse. People were staying overnight. They're camping everywhere. It got worse until we got night security back. So I think they're doing a pretty good service for the port.
Okay. Well, I guess I find it ironic that we have to hire our own security, but I think it's a good idea. You know, it would be an ideal world would be we'd have a regular patrol by the sheriff's department here throughout the community, and they'd be down here a lot. But that's just not realistic,
right,
given where we are. So, okay.
For the one thing for 2019, what I'd like to do is get a service contract renewed, go out for quotes. If there's any other service, you know, security services around them, provide us a quote and give them a scope of work like we want to, you know, if we want to increase it or decrease what they're doing or whatever the board wants to do for increase or decrease, but we need to do a service contract.
I'm an insurance agent for the port. If you want my opinion on the security and the liability that comes with it, I'd be happy to give it, but only if you ask.
All out.
So, I understand the want for...
James, can you come up here,
please? Yes. I can understand the want to have your own security, and it's certainly doable, but you have to understand that if you take that on, you're taking on that liability as well. So if someone claims they're roughed up by one of your security guards or something like that, then the way it is now, you go through night security, you make them list the port as additional insured, so that way if they're ever accused of roughing somebody up or stepping out of what they legally can do, you got a buffer. If you have your own security, you know, you're gonna have to go through all the CE stuff, and you're gonna have to have somebody who's gonna manage that, and that's doable, but you just gotta know that you're allowing yourself to have an extra liability that you currently don't have. So as the insurance agent for the city, I see stuff that comes in, you know, people get arrested for DUI and then they say the cop beat them up, but, you know, it really didn't, but, you know, they want to go to court over it. So you just, again, you're just opening up another liability. SDO, the insurance carrier, would be fine with it. They just, you know, you got to know there is a chance that on the insurance side of it, you could see some premium increases because you're taking on an extra liability that you don't currently have. So
that's if we did it ourselves.
That's if you do it yourself. Yeah, my recommendation would be to see if you could work out some sort of a contract with Knight or somebody else to try to maybe, you know, maybe you pay them the same amount of money that it would take to have two guys here every night and they just staff it, and that way you have that buffer there. You know, you got to weigh out your costs though. If their price is going to be, you know, too much, then of course that's not an option. But if you could have some sort of buffer between the liability of the port having their own security or a third party in it. From an insurance standpoint, you're better off to third party it than to do it yourself. You technically could have your own police force as a port, you know, like the port of Portland does. But you got a lot of red tape and continuing education stuff with security. So just if you do it, just remember you got to go all the way in. So that's pretty much all I have on that. If anybody has any questions, Gary has that available to me. So
okay.
And I don't know what the rules are. I don't know if I can talk to you individually or only in group settings, but you guys would know that better than me.
We'll probably have Thank more questions for us. Well, I just, from my perspective, I would never entertain the port having its own security system. I mean, based on past experience, the amount of training it takes and the amount of equipment it takes to have somebody meet the standards is just absolutely prohibitive. So it's much, we're much better off the contract.
I agree.
The payroll cost alone would be, night security is a very good investment. And I think personally, I haven't heard any complaints from any of the port people, and they do a very excellent job. So we can negotiate with them or another security outfit money ahead.
So your idea was that we would put out a prospectus for this for
yes.
next year and right. allow people to bid on it?
Yep. 2 years ago, we only got two responses, one from the security firm up in Newport, just because Don Mann knew him. I think he was doing him a favor to check prices, and then Night Security is the only other one. So I don't know of any other night security companies around here, but throughout the question, see if anybody responds.
Okay. Would you like that done in the form of a motion?
I think I asked for a recommendation on that.
Recommendations back here.
Yeah, actually, I do have a recommendation on that.
Well, this is the reason I asked the question. This one suggests continuing with Night Security. You want to?
Yeah, in between time of doing a service contract, it's going to take probably a month or so to get service contract looking for quotes and stuff. So I want to continue using him until either renew with him or somebody new.
All right. Okay.
At the moment, he doesn't have a contract with an expiration date on it.
His contract, 2 years ago, we had a one-year contract, and it wasn't renewed last year. So I'm assuming it's a month-to-month type of thing.
Yeah, when he left and we were there, we never renewed a contract with him. We just kept paying him. And then when Kathy came, then we upped their hours by an hour every day. But the agreement was never renewed.
Right.
One more question on that. He's providing us insurance package, liability insurance and that sort of stuff, and hold harmless, whatever, as far as his contacts with people and that he's engaged with.
We don't have a current insurance liability with him right now, but we asked for it. I asked for it the other day.
Okay.
So he's supposed to be providing us a copy of it.
Okay. Do you have a comment?
Yeah, a comment on the security. 8-9 years ago, my dad worked for the port, and you didn't have to check the record to see what he made. It wasn't that much. It wasn't nowhere near $2,000 a month. But he had an RV that they allowed him to leave in the RV port. And 6 hours a night, 5 nights a week, randomly, he would walk the docks. And he would check boats for mooring. He would pick up trash. He was just there, just a presence of a human there. 6 hours a night, 5 random nights a week. There weren't issues like that, like we've had in the past with the security, because there's always someone there. And I know part of his pay was being able to park his RV at the RV park, but it was out. You have to check the records, but I would say less than $1,000, maybe $1,200 a month that he was paid beyond that for the time that he put in walking the docks. And when there was an issue, if there was someone doing something they shouldn't be doing, he called the sheriff. Simple as that, and they would show up and take care of it. There's no sheriff deputies on it?
No, not always.
What about state police?
Well, I mean, so the reality is, I would personally be very reluctant to put a port employee in a situation of liability like that.
Yeah.
Because we don't train. I mean, I'm not saying that Travis couldn't pit somebody off the dock in a heartbeat, but you just don't want to have them in that situation where they're confronting these guys. Night security's got equipment and training.
Sure.
And it's on them. And yes, they can call, but, you know, we all know the reality of that. I don't know how many state troopers are on at night, but if there's only one, you know, they could be in Port Orford, and so then you're right. Stuck with that. And same thing with the sheriff's department. So,
that makes sense.
You know, we're
so is that the reason they kind of got rid of that position? Do you guys know?
As far as security here?
Well, it wasn't a security position. He was like a port, like your port employees now that walk around all day long picking up trash and cleaning the bushes and doing their job.
It'd be similar to the
Parcos. He just did it at night.
Yeah, it'd be similar to the Parcos that we have here.
Yeah, the same position that, you know, it wasn't security. But just having a presence of someone in a port truck driving around, he never tangled with anyone. You know, he saw something that was out of sorts, he would call someone. But there really wasn't any big issues, you know, like we've had recently.
Well, part of the reason that I think it's important we talk about security is because, frankly, things are changing.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. We're at the point now where we're putting gates on bathrooms and having to deal right. with that.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, maybe I'm being a pessimist, but I don't think it's going to get better.
One of the things that, well, we just had an issue last week or earlier this week with somebody during the middle of the day that me, Gary, and another port employee found very quickly we were not equipped to handle that type of a person. Before night security was here, I was the guy that they called to come down here and deal with the problems that were down here. And I won't do it again, nor do I recommend having anybody do it, because the things that we're supposed to late at night, nobody that we have on staff is prepared to handle that, nor I think it should be our responsibility to handle. And that's my opinion.
Well, again, I just don't think the port employees need to be in that situation, and nor do we want to try and train somebody to do that. You're talking how many hours of firearms training do you have to have? I mean, you're talking, I don't know, 50 to 100 hours of training just to have the certification to do it.
Right.
That includes hand-to-hand combat, you know, all those kinds of things that you have to go into, the arrest procedures. That
we do not want armed port employees.
No.
We can't afford them.
That'll
we can't
comment.
Afford the insurance yeah. for them.
Just a quick comment. What about on-call, as far as night security is concerned, can you have a clause in that little contract for on call? In other words, if you have an emergency during the day, call them while they be down here.
That's going to boil down to how much service we want to pay them, you know, to provide their hours. I believe typically they come on at 5 in the evening. So, you know, again, for us to, you know, that would be a negotiation type deal of us, you know, asking them to change the services that they're providing to fit us.
Do you know how many employees night security has?
I don't.
One, two, five?
As far as I know, it's two.
I could speak from my own experience. At my office, we started using night security about a year ago because we're having a lot of stuff dumped on in the parking lot and stuff like that. And there's been times where I have been out of town. I have 3 other offices, and the gals have called me concerned because there was somebody in the parking lot. Like, for example, one time a guy was like stabbing a telephone or a power line with a knife in our parking lot. And I told him to call night security, and they showed up. So, and they were in contact with us to walk the building 3 times a night. But, you know, it's so small of an area. And to kind of answer to your, they did respond for us. So I would assume they would do the port.
Well, Gary, one thing I would like to recommend is for you or Travis or whoever other, the other port employee, have a body cam available. When you guys go out, and just like that incident with the camper down there, or the guy in the tent by the Indian memorial, you guys don't need to be, I mean, that camera is, it can be your worst enemy if you're doing something wrong, but it can be your best friend if you handle it all professionally. And for the cost of a camera, I think you guys should have that available to you.
Yeah, we actually purchased two body cams a couple of years ago. It's just a matter of trying to find them. We still have them, but I like that idea as well. If we run into this, I mean, I was thinking the same thing when we had an incident with just last week. It's like we probably should have pulled out the body camera when we could find them. Because
you guys don't need to be going out there and contacting people on drugs. You just, you're not paid to do physical altercations. Record it, call the, however long it takes the sheriff's department to get here, that's what it takes.
Yeah.
They're undermanned, we know
usually
that.
Usually there is a sheriff or the patrol, what do you call her?
Parole
and gal is usually here. Usually somebody is in that office that we, if we really need to get somebody, we can contact them.
Well, that was the motivation for having that office here, wasn't it, to have?
It was the main motivation was the presence and the fact that usually there was somebody in there that if we really needed them, they could get a hold of them.
Right.
Well, I mean, all the stuff we're talking about here is the reality of living in this county right now with the attitude of the people about funding law enforcement where, you know, that has consequence. So. Okay, should we close on this? And we want to make a motion?
Do we need a motion?
Down here on the motion is what we're still asking for is if we want to continue using night security until a new contract or agreement's been made.
I'll make that motion.
And I'll second it.
Okay.
I don't know if I'm supposed to say the motion.
You said it was fine. You want me to read it?
Yeah, read it, please.
Recommended motion to continue using night security until a new service contract agreement is completed for calendar year 2019.
And I second it.
Okay, so we have a motion by Ken Raines and a second by Joe. Any further discussion? Okay, hearing none.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
All right, on to security lights. So since I've been back, we had one request from one of our tenants on the north side of our parking lot. It's pretty dark. It is pretty dark over there at night. There's only lights from the buildings, but there's nothing out in the parking lot. So I was just kind of curious what our designs were back 20 years ago. And the design is only these parking lights out here. It's only four shown on it. But what was interesting, they showed 23 interior light poles around our courtyard. But we only have seven. So I don't know what happened, you know. Don't know why that was changed, but that's what we got. So if we're looking at putting in new parking lights, we did put two in our boat launch ramp 4 years ago. The cost there was, for two of them, was $15,000 with about 200 feet of conduit ran. So.
Was that done under the grant?
That was under the grant, right.
What was the cost, Gary? As in what cost the $15,000?
The two light poles.
They're at either end of the launch ramp, facing towards the launch ramp. There's two, I think they're like 25 feet tall or
something like that.
With an LED light with the base.
I can get some ripping LED lights nowadays that don't cost no $15,000. Yeah. I'm just saying.
$7,500 per pole, basically, with power ran to it and all that stuff. So.
And, you know, that's what we had, and that's the numbers, you know, we had to go off from. Not that every pole has to be that much, but it starts being a picture of when you start pulling the lights up.
Right. If we do put lights up there, we don't know where the power's coming from, so is there a new transformer needs to be put out there, or I don't know if Coos Curry would put out a transformer. Sometimes they do, depending on how long you're going to have it, which will probably be there for many years, so it may not cost us anything for a transformer. Sometimes they do that if they know the cost is going to be coming in and pay for it over the years. That makes sense? Okay. So, go ahead.
The lights up at the spot, the restaurant up there, when I put those in, they were less than $1,000 each. They're all LED, and that was running them and everything. Less than $1,000, and they're
That was the base? The base and all?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. And I had to run conduit and everything else across there, and yeah, they're all LED. I think the poles themselves were $250 for the pole, which is a pretty expensive piece, but yeah.
Well, again, in the idea of security, I think lights seem to me to be a pretty reasonable approach to that. Won't guarantee security, but it certainly will add to it. I think it's a pretty reasonable approach to do the best we can to light this up. When I've gone around and talked to the tenants here, I've had two of them tell me that they were nervous about their employees at night. This is when we were doing the homeless thing, that they felt nervous about them walking out to their car in the dark with that sort of circumstance, and I certainly don't blame them for that. So security lights seem to me to be a pretty good idea. How about, what's on the boat basin side, the commercial boat basin side?
There's actually four poles each side, so there's a total of 8 lights. The commercial side actually is, the parking lot and the kite field side is lit pretty well. You know, kind of getting a little bit off, but there was another recommendation that for your docks, you know, a lot of things are getting stolen at night. There's nobody down there. You know, lighting on top of pilings, you know, that are lighting up dockways, could be another, you know, being able to see down there would help as well at night.
Solar lights are pretty cheap. On the pilings, you could put a solar light up there, and yeah, if we have significant bad weather, they're not going to work as efficiently, but they get pretty cheap
with
fix on that.
Dock pedestals that, you know, they're already down there, it's not out of the question to pull power from those and would more than run anything that you would want to put out there.
Going back to here in the commercial area, if we put in, what's the bulb, the wattage of the bulbs we have? Can we brighten it up using the same poles and fixtures that we have?
Yeah, I just have to look into it. I'm sure we can up the wattage, which would be brighter, yes. Okay. I'm not sure what the watts are right now, but we can look into it and see if we can get.
And you have one that's not working, correct?
Yes, we have one out here in the parking lot that we noticed isn't.
And then how many new ones do you guys want to add?
Well, I guess that's open to discussion. It would be nice to have some by the entrances where right now there's, where you drive into this place, it's really dark. Driving out, it's really dark. I mean, it'd be not, usually you have lights at the entrance of your parking lot, right? It'd be nice to have one, two, and then
you can double
three or four
up each pole with no problem.
Yeah, and three or four more over here and a couple over on this side. So we're looking, what, 7 or 8?
Do you anticipate in the short term any work that's going to be done out there?
Other than the island that we want to put in, which is kind of minor construction.
All right, well, because it would be nice to tie that into another job if you were going to be out there doing it anyway, to run the conduits and do all those sort of things. But so if we go do the motion that you suggest here, which is the funds available, and just direct that we add lighting, as much lighting as we can in the appropriate places, that will leave you the flexibility to kind of determine what you want to do. And again, like I say, if we can tie it into another project that's going on that might come up, then that would be the ideal time to do that.
Well, that's hidden kind of with the recommendations is that, you know, right this second, no, we can't do lights, but it's leaving the door open, you know, it's been passed that just when it comes up, we'll be able to act on it.
Okay. All right. But talk to David.
I'll share all that information.
Yeah. That'd be good. Plus, you know, there's probably some grants out there that could probably help us as well for the funds, too. I know SDAO could pitch in a little bit because that's the security side of things on their safety security grant.
So, yeah, they'll usually do some sort of a match.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So we have a suggested motion on this.
So what I'd like to do, I know you're kind of giving me the motion to go ahead and pursue this, but I'd like to come back to the board with the final cost. I'm sure it's going to go over my limit anyway, so I'm going to have to come back to the board with a plan and everything else for the board approval. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'll just do this motion and get you rolling, and then we'll do it on a case-by-case then.
Yep.
Okay. All right. You want to read this one, Joe?
I make a motion to install new parking lights when the availability of funds are there. You want me to tweak it a little bit?
A second. No. Sorry. I forgot where we're the only
one here. We have a motion by Joe Spear and a second by Ken Range to basically to set in motion the lighting for the port. Any further discussion? Hearing none?
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
All right, so the next thing is security cameras. So the security cameras, there's a bunch of, it's kind of weird, there's a bunch of security cameras placed on all these poles in the parking lot. But they've all been disconnected. I don't know when they were put up, don't know when they were disconnected, but what I do know, we have security cameras in this building that point out all four directions. And it's actually connected over here, so we that is currently in operation. If we have any issues, we can always look at what the issue was. And then we have security cameras at the RV park, point out a couple different directions from the office. I think that's the only security cameras we have in place. Oh, security cameras at the fuel dock, so we have a couple there. We had security cameras on the Basin 2 east side ramps, but they were vandalized as well as the weather got to them, so they don't work anymore. But they, you know, if we put cameras back at any of those locations, we probably want to do it a little better.
We'll do it a little differently.
Yeah. So when they get vandalized, they just can't go up there and climb over the roof and just rip them down or whatever. And then protect them from weather a little better.
So these security cameras would be, let's just say, passive. So all we're basically doing is recording the event. They're not going to be actively monitored by somebody sitting watching them all the time.
Right. Then if something happens, you go over there and get the chip out of it, and then you review it. That's the cheapest way. Or you hook them up to Wi-Fi system and then have them come back to your office or something. But yeah, that would be a little more expensive.
The ones I looked at on before I came down here, you can get an outdoor camera with Wi-Fi, basically anything and everything you want as features. And $299, but if we did anything right now, I mean, I'd suggest that we put them where the gates are. If we're not going to lock the gates, even if we are, put cameras up high as we can possibly get them. And those, we have electrical at all of those locations, I believe. And then have the monitors. Yes.
I might make a suggestion on that, speaking of someone from much experience with cameras lately. I've had my business vandalized a few times in the last year, and I have security cameras that are Wi-Fi. I'm spending the money and the work to put that electric line in conduit so that They'll chop it with an axe. I've had them literally unscrew the back of my roof off my building to get inside to get at the cameras and the. Then they break into the building and then they steal your recorder. So put it up on the cloud as well. So you've got an additional copy of that. And I've faced cameras at each other and they sneak around. Of course, they hide and they climb up a little ladder and they jerk that camera down and they go around the other side. So mount them well and mount the wires. Because the Wi-Fi works great. Like you said, you can be sitting on the beach and you're watching your building right now.
The one thing I do not know, and maybe you do, is what's the distance it'll transmit?
They'll usually tell you a good set. You can probably get 800 to 1,000 feet on.
So if we set up
like a $200 set, they're only going to go maybe 150 feet. Where a $1,000 set with maybe 8 or 10 cameras in it will probably go more like 800 to 1,000 feet. For a good set, you're going to spend $1,000 for 8 of them, but that's a really good set.
That's reasonable, I think.
And they're waterproof, Wi-Fi. Like you said, you got the chip in each in the camera, so you can pull it out. You can put however many gigs you want in each camera.
But also you can monitor them from the, you can have a monitor in the office.
If you have a security station or someone sitting in the office, you can actually just touch the screen for any camera you want and zoom in on it. And then, like I say, put it on the cloud too, because if they get in and get your equipment, at least you've got something on there.
I would put them on, I would install a pole and get them as high as you can. So right. It's, like you're saying, it would protect the conduit and everything else. Do something else for power. So it's like I had the same thought. Have a camera pointing at another camera so you can catch them. Actually, we did that. We had a game cam pointing at towards our cameras on the ramp. Well, they didn't find out the game cams came up missing. So
if people knew they were being recorded going to and from those docks.
I mean, the reality of this is if you've got a determined criminal, you're not going to defeat them.
Right.
But
or if they come in on a boat.
At the same time, you know, as many stumbling blocks as we can put in the way of people with better lighting or some kind of security issue, the better. Al?
Quick question. Which set of docks do you have more problems? The commercial basin, the sport basin, by the Coast Guard? Where's the problems concentrated?
That's, you know, a lot of, I guess where my standpoint comes from with hearing security problems is that they're not reported.
Right.
I have a very, very, very small stack of reported complaints of anything being stolen on the dock. I have people that come to me and say a month ago, 2 months ago, or they just noticed that something's gone off their boat. But in the reporting end of it, for, you know, the port doesn't receive a lot of reports. And you know, if there's, I encourage anybody that is, you know, to immediately report it, so that action can actually happen on it.
Yeah, I think the mentality is that down at the docks that you know, if you have a problem, you're basically going to take care of it yourself. I joke, give you probably many, many renditions of what goes on down there. And I ran across a really bad situation, and I never called the port.
Well, I think if we're going to go to the effort to put in security cameras and increase lighting, we are also going to have an expectation that people are going to report those incidents as soon as they occur, that they discover they've occurred, to first of all document it, and secondly, if there is an opportunity to pull a chip out of a camera and get some information, the sooner you do that, the better off you are. So
maybe there should be a comment in the billing every month that everybody gets for their electricity bill to suggest this to your customers.
I think as this progresses, we can talk about those kind of things.
Yeah.
And you know, how can we reach out best to let everybody know? But you know, this, part of this thing is in this world, you got to kind of help take care of yourself too.
Well, so that's a dangerous situation, man.
Well. The situation you were in is the one that even trained police officers are going to have a difficult time with. If you've never seen anybody amped up on meth and tried to deal with them, you haven't lived. I can guarantee you, it's like dealing with a T-Rex. There's nothing you can do. I mean, I've seen those guys paved, maced, beat. This does not affect them. So, you know, if you're just a mere mortal, you're in way over your head right at the beginning. So our rule of thumb was, if you've got one guy on meth, you need at least five guys to respond. If you have two guys on meth, you need 10 or 15. So, because once you start, you just can't stop and say, okay, well, I guess we'll do something else. So anyway, we're digressing. But
man, really quick, I gave the sheriff's department the code to my cameras next door, so they can pull them up at any time. And when we have had a problem in the area, they pull up my cameras, and they told me they were going to play them here, and I said, that's fine, I don't care. But I don't know if they have or haven't, because I'm not in the substation very often. But
I just have a question, I guess, for you. What is your success rate having cameras and having thefts?
Two for two? No, who he was, and they released him 6 hours later.
In the previous history of this port, given cameras that we've had before, two.
Two? These cameras out here caught a hit and run, only because she was wearing a pink outfit. But the cameras are not that great at a distance, but right. the pink outfit did that. And then the other one was on the ramp when we pulled the trash cans. Remember, we had trash cans pulled away from the ramps, and we put the containers, but the crews are still dumping all their material on the ramps. We actually caught one individual doing that, and we actually identified him, and the crew, the boat owner, got rid of the guy. So, but and then we had cameras pointing at the trash, at the dumpsters. That's, you know, when the people are just dumping left and right, and we had a hard time identifying those people. They were dumping their.
The neat part about the better units are they can pick up light because they've got these little dimmer bulbs inside them. I don't know exactly how they work, but from like a couple hundred feet away, it's amazing the picture you can get with them. It's amazing. And when you blow it up, you think it would get all grainy, especially in the middle of the night. It really does, and it stays pretty clear. It's amazing.
And I've had great success too.
I have a question.
The sheriff's department the security code to where they can go in and reverse and play and copy, whatever. Just burn DVDs, so we had three individuals that it worked for. So,
because that would be my next recommendation for lights, lights to be at the ramps to help the success of any cameras that are put up. Lighting, I think, is
the cool thing about that is now they've got the laptop in the car and they can pull the camera out and see it right in the car.
Yeah.
Personally, I think of the two, the lights are more important, but I think the cameras are a good idea, a good deterrent, because in spite of what you see on TV, a lot of crooks are not very smart.
But you do have to plan on taking the cobwebs off.
Once in a while, yeah.
Yeah.
Joe, just...
There is an electric line in conduit. I promise you right now, they'll find a way to cut that line.
Joe, how many people sleep aboard the commercial boats? Is there some that do?
It just depends, you know.
During the season?
During crab season, you know, like, I'll sleep on the boat just because I don't want to drive home. Just save 20, 30 minutes here and there, you know. It's not a lot, but there's a few here and there.
Yeah, okay.
The crews, there's always someone on those boats. Okay.
But right here again off the internet, according to this, our insurance will go down 5%.
All right.
Yeah, take note of that, Dave.
Okay, so you don't have a recommended action on this?
No, I didn't have one for you.
I'll make a motion on it.
Okay.
I'd make a motion that Gary investigate high-end cameras that can be located. Let's start out at each of the ramp accesses and mount them in the best possible way. And it would not hurt to get input from the people that we know that are here that have cameras as far as the good system, and go from there if we want to add on later.
I second that.
Okay.
$2,000 limit to start with, is that seem adequate?
Well, he's gonna
You don't have to spend it all.
Probably going to have to come back to us anyway.
Well, I have a $5,000 limit. If I spend more than $5,000, I'm coming back to the board.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
All right. So we have a motion by Ken Raines and a second by Jill Spear.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Oh, if you want to backtrack a little bit, Thomas just came in from Night Security. If we had any questions on Night Security's patrols or anything?
On call.
I have a question. Just
yeah.
Do you wear a body cam?
Yes, we do.
And then how many employees do you have, give or take?
I have one other full-time employee, and then I have a couple part-time employees. So it's usually the full-time employee and myself that is out that do the patrols, and then for vacation time and other stuff, then I'll have part-time employees come in, and that's generally one or two other people depending on staffing.
That was all I had.
Do you have an experience with security cameras? And
yes, I do. A system that I think that you guys are looking for is going to cost in excess of $5,000. You know, something that will get, you know, good facial recognition. You know, you see the cameras that, you know, work okay, like the QC kind of things and that kind of stuff, and the BC connectors and stuff like that. It's going to show you when it happened or when it's going to be done, but you really need a good quality camera, especially working around the docks and, you know, copper wiring and making sure that it's very protected from vandalism and all sorts of other stuff. It's going to be pretty cranny when it comes to cameras. I think, you know, there's other alternatives than just cameras to secure the docks per se. You know, putting gates at gangways.
We're going to talk about those.
Probably, you know, the other thing is making sure that, you know, out doing our job, we kind of know the vehicles that belong and don't belong, but at the same time, it's also very hard. You know, there's times there that, especially in the start of the year, when people would come and get their warn lease, you know, getting those tags out to everybody that belongs, that would be even more helpful. I've asked commissioners in the past, you know, maybe we need to sit down and look at port ordinances in detail. You know, there's some confusion about some port ordinances that have been brought up in the past that, you know, maybe if we can define port ordinances a little bit better, there's, you know, you kind of take pieces from different ports, I guess, in the past. And, you know, going through that kind of a thing and really keying onto that type of stuff. The main part of our job is really to do the parking lots and blocking the restrooms and that kind of stuff. I mean, I'm more than willing to send my guys down on the docks, but that's just not the services that were previously discussed and previously wanting at the time. You know, the original bid, there was three kind of different bids, and they kind of went with the lower bid. I understand that there's some financial restrictions, but you know, there's ideas out there. I'm very willing, very able to, you know, work with everybody and see what we can do if that, you know, changing schedules or whatever. I mean, I do have other clients, that kind of a thing, but really focusing on stuff to help you guys out. You know, it's not just a, this is how we're going to do it, but.
Okay, all right, thanks. Security gates and fencing?
All right, so security gates and fencing. So basin two ramps have gates. They do lock. They're not very secure because you can't open them by just going through the fence and pushing the handle on the backside and open them up. There's gates on the east side of basin two, but there's no locking mechanism. I think I gave you guys a picture. On the west side, there's nothing. There's no gates, no nothing, just the ramps. That's basically what we've got going on our ramps right now.
Okay, so fencing, we solved the fuel supply. That's fenced.
Right.
Any other fences that are?
Well, the gear storage, there was fence there at one time. There's still fence up there. There's one of the gates, I think, don't work anymore very well, and
there's parts of the fence is incomplete, so right. It makes it to where it's not secure.
Right.
I would recommend, you know, it would help with commercial users of our port and keeping the general public out of commercial areas, forklifts, people driving around, by boxing in the commercial area more and putting gates to it and limiting access to it. Limiting access right now, you know, a person could get all the way to Pack Choice, Bornstein area, to the steel wall area. We've had people fall off it, not make it from going off the wall, you know, at night. That would be a recommendation to finish any gates and fencing around commercial areas.
I think, and we talked about this a little bit when we were talking about the homeless situation, where, you know, the way I understand that rule, they can pretty much self-locate, and there are certainly places on this port we do not want people sleeping, standing, doing anything, and that I would put the gear storage as the on the top of my list for all the things you mentioned. So having that fenced will eliminate at least that piece of it. And, you know, I guess, you know, you gave us this, that talks about the liabilities.
Right.
And what happens, I'm pretty sure if we run over somebody with a forklift, irrespective of that, we're gonna probably hear about it. So
right.
I would certainly support fencing the commercial gear storage.
So just on the off side of, you know, thinking of people, that I just want to bring to your attention, that's fencing a lot of area off to get to what we want. I'm just bringing it up to take into consideration, you know, before we say fence in the entire commercial area, we might want to take a look at what areas we are fencing off. You know, in my opinion, from Kenny's boat shop to the boatyard is a commercial area. You know, so we need to identify the areas that we're talking about, you know, maybe at another, you know, to be able to see the port from it, looking down and decide where we want fences, because it's substantial to commercial area and what we're going to be blocking off to the rest of the community as far as saying it's commercial and not going to be accessed by the general public.
Well, I think the approach that you've laid out here is an approach of accomplishing this as you're able.
Yes.
Financially able. So it's not
yes.
going to happen overnight.
No.
And it's going to take some time to do that. Do we have any kind of a declaration that there are areas of the port that are not open to the public?
I don't believe so.
I don't know. I have to look and see what they did. I know we have signs out there now saying the public's not, there's no public access in that one gate. The other gate, there's nothing, so they can come through one way and out the other way. So, I don't know. Don't know if they did anything in the past. They may have. There might be a resolution. Just got to research and try to find it.
I would suggest you do that. If there's not, then I would propose we consider a resolution that says there and designate the areas. These are areas of the port that are open only to authorized personnel or people who have a
lease gear storage
or something.
Right.
To make it clear, that'll help us with the homeless thing also. And I think, you know, I'm not an attorney, but I think that would bolster our argument, legal argument, if somebody did get hurt there, that they weren't authorized to be there.
Right.
And those house, access to the ice house. That's inside that commercial area, that the ice house, if somebody wants to get ice.
Right.
And the ice house, you know, under everything is no longer ours.
Right.
So, you know, that would, they're, in the case that we put up gates and limit access to it, you know, those are things that, you know, public would have to bring back to us. We would have to go back to Pack Choice, the audience, you know, it would be absolutely something we would have to work out. But again, with the ice house not being ours, it'll have to be negotiations that'll have to be made, you know, for access for that to actually happen if the port decides to make commercial zones.
When we did transfer that lease, that discussion came up about the accessibility to the ice house for both the commercial and recreational fleet. And they assured us that, yes, they intended to make sure that people had access. It's going to have to be on an appointment basis, not 24/7. But that was an assurance that, yes, you could get in there. So if there are gates involved and those sort of things, then we'll have to make sure those are opened up to allow people to get into the ice house and take care of that.
Gary, do we have a master plan that shows public parking for special events? Because obviously, during certain events, you know, all the way down to the motels, any place they can park. So are we going to incorporate into a master plan the fencing and the parking, the public parking? I'd like to see that personally.
Yeah, usually the industrial area where the crab pots are at, it's usually closed off. Hopefully the gates are closed, but if you leave the gate open, they all stream in there and park in there. That happened one year, but
We can't fence out all the parking, parking either.
Right.
So
usually all the parking area, paved parking areas, are open, and I wouldn't fence off those areas, obviously. But I think that gear storage areas from Hallmark towards Kenny's Boat Shop would probably be the area we looked at fencing.
Just as a side note, you bring that up. You know, I'm kind of running a little committee with special events people. And I think we'll probably have one or two more meetings, and then we will bring a report back to the Port Commission that talks about parking, among other things.
Right. So, I know parking is a big issue on events.
Well, the issue from the perspective of the people that rent space here is the tenant would like an area designated for their parking. I mean, they've got a circumstance where some of their employees are coming to work at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and they have to walk for, you know, a mile just to get to work, and so we're going to think about something to resolve that. So, but that's not on this particular issue. So,
well, I'll make a motion.
Okay.
With the we're going to increase the lighting, and we're going to install cameras. I would recommend that we do nothing as far as gates on the docks at this time. See what happens after we increase the lighting and put the cameras in. And then as far as fencing the gear storage area and the dock receiving areas, when the funds are available, continue with that.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Okay.
Wasn't it clean and clear?
No.
Oh, all right. You want it in two pieces?
Two pieces.
Okay. In regards to the gates at
at the Montreal, or at the docks, leave the gates as is, install lights and cameras, and we'll reevaluate whether we need to do something with the gates as far as closing them or leaving them open as is. The second portion of it would be install the fencing and gates for the gear storage and the dock receiving areas when the funds are available.
I second it.
Okay. Are you pretty clear on what we were doing there?
Yeah.
Okay, we have a motion by Ken Ranger, and second by Bill Spear.
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Chip?
Yes.
Okay. Let's cover it here.
Yeah.
Before you guys wrap up, I just wanted to ask you a board question, if I could.
Sure.
Christopher Pash, Curry County Commissioner-elect, and not being sworn yet, I am taking as much advantage of this as I can. So, something I'd like to do is, I don't know if you read the newspapers a few months ago, but we're going to be calling for a county summit. And we'd like to have all the ports in the county involved, all the cities in the county involved. And what we'd like to do is, of course, promote economic development and growth in the county, as well as housing. And I'm just wondering if this board could, in the next few weeks, month or so, get some time to possibly look at areas of the port, if you would be interested in maybe new ground leases, what areas are available, what you'd be willing to look at to do that, and bringing more economic development to the port, which you'd like to see out in front of that meeting.
Okay, I think you've got some ideas already, don't you, about expanding this? And
yeah, it's actually our strategic business plan.
Right.
Has an idea to build a third retail building, which takes out the old buildings over there. They put the tenants in there, plus extra room for new tenants.
I think we're going to be able to attract some private money and ground leases and those kind of things. You know, what you'd be willing to offer around those ground leases for maybe some tax burden relief and that kind of stuff initially, or for, you know, for a couple of years would be. Would be good approaches to sell that, because yeah. We all know our ports in this county are gold mines. So let's take advantage of that. We'll bring development and growth to the county and be responsible for our buildings.
We already got a dandy green building out here.
Yeah, we do.
For somebody that.
Thanks for hearing me.
Okay, thank you. Mr.
I just wanted to make, you were asking about cameras. Huh? Cameras are great. I'm not going to lie. My only thing is they're going to be good to maybe go after a permanent facial, and that's why I said gates and fences would probably be a better deterrent, because if you have cameras, who's going to go stop the crooks when it's actually happening? I mean, obviously I know that we're down here and stuff like that, but that's something that, you know, keep posting, saying that there's cameras on property might deter a little bit, but also at the same time, who's getting what?
Put it on your laptop.
Yeah.
So you got live action.
But there's also that concern with cameras. So, you know, well, I see the action take place, but is that perp going to get stopped right then and there? Is that perp going to get stopped 3 months down the road? Or do you not have enough evidence to know who it is? And that's why I was saying we actually did fencing and limited access. It would make it a lot better than having patrol and, you know, making an actual strategic plan. What I really think needs to happen is the group needs to sit down and really come up with different ideas. I mean, obviously I kind of missed some of the meetings, so I really don't know what you guys talked about, but, you know, you have me that has been working this port on and off for the last 3 years or so, and have some ideas, and, you know, maybe sitting down and building a plan and then coming back and, you know, getting a committee, an actual committee, a security committee, I think would be a really good idea, and have some people that are sports fishermen and commercial fishermen and obviously you guys and some retail people that are here, and then myself and maybe a sheriff's deputy or something like that, and actually build a security committee that can actually sit down and look at all of this is my feeling about it.
All right. Commissioner's comments, you have any?
No, I don't. I'm fine.
I guess we haven't heard anything about crabs yet?
No, I'm doing another test tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
It'll be sporty out there.
It'd be all right. It'd be nice compared to the other day.
Okay, well, with that in mind, we will adjourn the meeting. It's 4:12.